Okay, if you have a Bible this evening, 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter 5. We're going to look at a couple of verses tonight. And you can and stand. We'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in 1 Peter 5. The Bible said in verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed flock, not only as a pastor to lead, but he is to feed the flock." And then he says, watch this, "taking the oversight thereof." He can't be a wimp. Somebody say amen right there. He's got to stand up. And to be sure the wolves don't come in and take the flock. He says, "not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, we're not puppets, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd," by the way, he's coming, "when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory." And only that pastor can obtain that crown, I believe that, "that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." Sure, I'm glad it don't say that He cared for me, but He careth. It's an ongoing process. He careth for you. Now, be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You may be seated tonight. If you would turn with me now over the left of your Bibles, look with me please in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 4. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 4. We notice that the devil is seeking whom he may devour. Here in Luke's Gospel of chapter 4, we have a picture of the Lord in His ministry day here on earth and how the devil came unto Him. The Bible said in Luke 4:1, "And Jesus being full," that would solve a lot of our issues if we'd just get full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. "He returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward had hungered. And the devil said to him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up in a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle or a steeple of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Father, we love you tonight and we thank you for this time together. I want to pray for this mission-minded family that has come. God presented their heart, God their ministry. I pray your hand would be about their family. God should protect them. I pray You'd give them souls for their labor. I pray You'd burden other churches, God, to support them that they may go take the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus to another country. Help them, I pray. Help all of our missionary friends tonight. God, our preacher friends, I pray. God, the families here that are struggling. God, the ones that are lost, I pray that You'd speak to their heart. God, our little ones, I pray You'd protect them like only You can. Help us this week. God, we'll be grateful to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now, you'll notice here as the Lord is written down, He allowed the Holy Ghost to pin some things down that would help us in our life. First of all, as Brother Adam had said something this morning, I began to pin some things down about Satan. First of all, I want you to know he's a real devil tonight. Now, I know that we've all heard messages after messages, but the Bible said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I think a lot of times that we hear, and it's a lot like that noisy air conditioner that was running in a man's house. It had run day in and day out. It made such a terrible racket. A visitor came in and said, "Sir, if you'd turn that noisy air conditioner down, I'd hear what you said." He said, "What air conditioner?" We get used to hearing a noise. But tonight, I want you to realize there is a real devil. Number two, there is a ready devil. He stands ready for me and you. And I can tell you this, we are no match by ourselves to the devil. Not only is he real and ready, but he's very reliable. I'll guarantee you this, as he came to Christ, Jesus didn't go looking for devil. Devil comes to Jesus. Tonight, isn't it amazing? We don't have to go to the honky-tonks and the bars of this world. The devil comes walking, seeking whom he may devour. Now, there's three things that the devil presented himself to Christ that I believe that he presents himself to everybody in this building tonight. I noticed three things in my life that the devil loves to mess with, and he presented it to Christ. And I won't be long at preaching, so listen to what I'm saying tonight. First of all, you'll notice that he came to him in the lust of the flesh. Now, for sake of time, I'm going to turn and I'm going to read a text, and I want you to have this in your mind. 1 John 2 and verse number 15. Here the Bible says this. He says, "Love not the world." That's not change. "Neither the things that are in the world." Now, as I said this morning, there was a sign out in the churchyard that said, "Come next Sunday, we're going to have Fly Kite Sunday." I can tell you what they need to do, honey. They need to pull the string off their kite and get them a Bible out. Somebody say amen. He said, "Love not the world." And he says this, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now, verse 16, "For all that is in the world," here it is, "the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So the devil presented himself to Christ. First of all, you'll notice in verses 3 and 4, the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be made bread." And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now, first of all, that he offered himself to the Lord Jesus, and he tried to tempt him with the lust of the flesh. You say, "Well, how in the world do you tempt Jesus with flesh? He was God-man." But I can tell you this, Jesus could have never sinned because he's God and he's holy. But he walked through this world and he knows the temptations of flesh. Boy, this flesh is terrible. I don't care how long you've been saved, your flesh has never got saved. Wouldn't it be a blessing if our flesh got saved? Honey, it's not so much what's in heaven, it's what ain't going to be in heaven gets me stirred up. No more flesh, hallelujah. I can be in church, have the greatest service, somebody pull out in front of me and flesh boils me. I'm going to roll the window down and shake my fist at them going down the road. It annoys me with this line of traffic from the church to the red light trying to get out on Sunday.
It annoys me to go to a steakhouse and we're in a big depression and you have to get a beeper. It takes you an hour and 10 minutes to get a piece of something to eat. Somebody say amen. But boy, I'm going to tell you, our flesh is something. And notice what he presented to Christ. He presented to him passions. And it has to do with doing. Now, I want to say that these worldly appetites has always allured men off track. The devil would love to get you sidetracked with the lust of the flesh. And boy, it has to do with passion. And it has to do with doing. Look in verse 3 of Luke 4. And the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God, command that this stone be made bread. And Jesus answered, saying, it's written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You know, the devil is he has a lot of brass on his face. Now, the one that kicked him out of heaven, he's trying to get him to doubt who he is. He said, now, if you're really the Son of God, he knowed he was the Son of God. The devil's never doubted was he the Son of God. But I can tell you one thing about the devil. He'll try to get you doubting about who you are. Well, you're no preacher. You're no father. You're no grandfather. You're no husband. You're no wife. You're no mama. Oh, let me tell you something. Jesus put the word back to him. Boy, the devil loves to make us doubt, but I can tell you one thing. The way he tries to devour us is that of passions. Watch our passions. It has to do with doing. Now, here Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and isn't it amazing that the devil came to him in his weak area, in worldly appetites, to satisfy fleshly hunger. Let me tell you something. I think a lot of times the devil wouldn't know nothing unless we told him everything. I've always told men, I want you to pray about this. They say, well, Brother Ken, why do you want me to pray? I say, I'm not going to tell the devil. Because all the devil can know is what he hears. I believe the devil can sense things. Isn't it amazing? Every time when God starts to do something big and the devil senses it. I mean, even before a person gets saved, that something will start changing and the devil starts sensing that God's doing something. I've noticed this in the pages of our Bible that when God opens the windows to bless us, the devil opens up the cellar doors to blast us. Somebody say amen. Somebody help the man of God preach on daylight saving time. Now, when God opens the windows to bless us, the devil opens the cellar doors to blast us. And don't you think for one second, Liberty Baptist Church, a church that's upon a foundation and preaching the Word of God and has the love of God and sending people around this world, seeing sinners saved by the grace of God. You better know this place is a target for God. Families, watch yourself with passions. With passions. Passions. Amen. Ladies here are not a set of monkey bars. Somebody say amen. You can be godly with a handshake. Ain't no place at church to be no Peyton place. Somebody say amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, we're all human. Fellas, don't put yourself in a bad place. You little henpecked looking rascal, say amen tonight. Ladies, don't put yourself in a bad place. You know why? We got flesh. I've got principles that I do not cross. And we better watch this thing of the lust of the flesh. The devil don't go to bed to sleep. He's seeking whom he may devour. He'd love to get you sidetracked. With the lust of the flesh, it has to do with passions tonight. Physical appetite. Number two, the devil not only came to him with passions, but just like what John was writing, he came to Jesus about possessions. Not only the lust of the flesh, but now he comes to him the lust of the eyes. The Bible said in verse number 5, and the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time.
It don't take the devil long to show you what he's got, friend. Said he showed him everything he had in just a moment of time. You know that sermon I was preaching about the marriage in Cana? Jesus turned the water into wine, brought it to the governor, the bearer of the feast, and he said, boy, this is so strange. He said, you saved the best to the last. Well, isn't that so opposite? The devil will give you the best he's got first, because you know why? It don't take long for him to give you the best. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, he'll show you all the pretty billboards, but he don't show you the backside of it. Amen. Young people, he'll show you all the nice advertisements, get in the in crowd, do this, smoke their weed, pop their pills, drink their booze, and go to their parties and be in the in crowd. But he don't show you the end of what he's got. Broken-hearted mom and daddies in morgues weeping over your casket. Mom and daddies, the devil don't show you the end of things. But you'll notice this, that he came unto Christ about possessions. I won't say nothing. There's nothing wrong with having things. It's just wrong when things have us. God didn't give you a boat to miss church. God didn't give you golf clubs to miss church. I know a man's got to have some relaxation. There are times when a man needs to go. I understand that. But if you're not careful, when you start missing and leaning just a little bit, it'll get a lot further out than you ever intended it to. And so tonight, you'll notice that the devil came to Christ about possessions. It had to do with having. Now, I want to say that you'll notice in verse number 5 that, and the devil taking him up into a mountain, look, here's a word, showed unto him. Showed unto him. He loves to attract with the eyes. You ever got on a on a buffet, got your little plate, and you just kept piling stuff on top of it, your eyes got bigger than your stomach? Boy, our eyes affect us. You ever notice that's what got Eve in trouble? You ever notice that's what got Lot in trouble? The Bible said that he lifted his eyes and beheld all the plains of Sodom. His eye aching. Remember, he was in the tent and he looked and he saw a goodly Babylonian garment. David looked and seen Bathsheba. She was a pretty woman to look at, is what the Bible said. And his eyes got it. Tonight, we better watch ourselves, because the devil would love to kick us out of this race about our possessions. It has to do with having. Now, let me tell you something. When you start to have so many possessions and it takes you out of church, you better be careful. God's fixing to get rid of some possession. Or you ought to pray that He would. You ought to pray that He would. Because see, what you don't understand, you think you're not seeing nothing happen maybe every service. I know we've met here tonight at 6 o'clock. I understand that. And a lot of people a lot of times say, well, why do we do all this, Pastor? I mean, many times it's just a normal service. Well, let me tell you, normal services are good. Matter of fact, there's not too many of them in America no more. And what you don't understand, what the devil's showing you, is the impact you're having to a generation that's coming behind us. Watch your possessions. And I'm going to tell you what I've noticed about pastoring people, Brother David. When people start paying their tithes, giving to missions, they're around the glory and the power of God. Their lives get cleaned up and God starts to promote them in the kingdom. God starts using them out in the territory. And all of a sudden it gets down to the third temptation. And here's the last one tonight. The one was passion, the other one possession, but the last one is pride. Look in verse 9. And he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. The devil loves to get people in high places. Because when he puts you in high places, you get to thinking you've done something. And then when you get to thinking you've done something, honey, it's a long way down from up yonder. I remember them days. And you know, I've had issues. I'm not saying I've not had issues. But God knows my heart. I've always tried to guard this thing of pride. But I'm going to tell you what, I've met many men and ladies that climbed into a corporate position and they forgot all about God and they got on a high place and right where the devil tempted them the most. I'll tell you tonight, preachers, singers, teachers, yeah, God may be using us, but we better remember one thing. The devil loves to trip us up in a high, holy place. Look where he sent him to. The Bible said that he put him up on a high place now in verse number 9. He brought him to Jerusalem, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. Now, the first trait, it has to do with passions, with doing. Secondly, it had to do with possessions. It has to do with having. But lastly tonight, it has to do with this thing of pride. And it has to do with being somebody important. Let me ask you something tonight. If you're a child of God and your heart is filled with the things of the Lord, how could you have a better position in life? There's nothing no greater. What some of you don't understand tonight, and some of you do, if President Obama had to step down and told me to get in his seat, I'd be getting a demotion. Now, I could do a better job than what he's doing. Matter of fact, when I was 12, I could have done that plowing a mule. I know what end of the mule I was behind. Somebody say amen right there, buddy. But I can tell you one thing. I would take a step down to be the president. How much better would you want it than to serve God and have the peace of God in you and watching the Holy Ghost use you in a day and hour where nobody knows nothing about God? Took Jesus on a high place. Up on the temple. Boy, preachers, you better be careful not to get prideful. God will go to using us and you get to thinking we've done something. Brother David, I remember one time I went to y'all's old church way back yonder. I was a young preacher. The first year I was called to preach, I'm going to tell you, God opened up like 40-something places for us to go pray. Well, you know, I was the new world evangelist. People getting saved. Man, I thought, this ain't nothing to that. Just grab your tie and let's go. Well, I'll never forget. I got up there that night, opened my Bible. And I remember what an old man said. I come out of that place like a whipped dog. I couldn't have spelled my name that night. I remember what God done to me, Brother Tim. It's just like God stepped back and said, okay, Mr. Evangelist, it's yours. Have it. I wish I'd had me a trap door I could have hit and just disappeared. And this is what I heard an old man say. I come out there like a whipped dog. And this is what he said, you know what, preachers? If you'd have went in that pulpit like that, we'd have heard from God. But you listen to me tonight. Who are we without the Lord? I don't care what job you hold. I'm glad there's some do-well people in our ministry. Thank God. I mean, the Lord's blessing this ministry above and beyond. It is amazing what God has put in this place. I'm talking about a hick town, a little old town that's holding Alabama and Georgia together. That's all it is. And don't none of y'all get to thinking too high about where we live, because it ain't a whole lot going on here. I mean, if you want something to eat after 9 o'clock, honey, you better done hit the Dollar General before you went to bed. Got you some of them Vianers and crackers. Somebody save me. Isn't it amazing what God's entrusted us with? Who are we? Pride of life. Man, I'm better than you. I've never I've never enjoyed being around nobody thought there's on a limb above me. You know one of the greatest things in the corporate life that I lived that I enjoyed? A man that's on the bottom rung doing the lowest job walk in to start doing his job and they just look. Who are we without him? Don't let pride get you. Oh, you may swing and try to get up there, but it's lonely up there. It's a long way down. And the devil, he came to him in three areas, just like he does our life. The lust of the flesh, watch your flesh. The lust of the eyes, watch your eyes. Then the pride of life, being somebody important. I want to say how Christ defeated the devil. Won't take 1 second. Luke 3:22, first of all, had to do with sonship. I'm glad he said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Luke 3 and verse number 22. The Bible said that Jesus was baptized and heaven opened in 21. And in 22, the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven and said, thou art my beloved Son, and thee I am well pleased. I'm glad that being a child of God, we can defeat the devil. Sonship. Number two, submission. In verse 22, Brother Randy talked about it the other Sunday. He said that, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Submission. Spirituality. He was full of the Holy Ghost. I tell you how to resist the devil. If you're a child of God, you're submitted to God and you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And then, look what he said in verse 4. Brother Adam mentioned this morning of Luke 4 and 4. How did Jesus defeat the devil? Jesus answered him saying, it is written. Look in verse 8. He said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. In verse 12, look what he said. He said, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He defeated him with Scripture. But listen to me, child of God. If you don't know nothing about it, you can't use it. Read your Bible. Know what your Bible says. Somebody asked you about so-and-so. Well, let's call the preacher and ask him. Well, preacher may not answer. Well, I know it's in the Bible. Grandpa said it. Don't mean it's in the Bible. Heard old man say one time, preacher, it's in the Bible, because my daddy said it, said every tub sits on its bottom. I said, ain't in the Bible. Ain't in the Bible. Some of them turn over, amen. He defeated him with his sonship, with submission, with spirituality, and with Scripture. And I'm going to tell you the way he defeated him with satisfaction. I want to say something tonight. Don't give the devil an inch, because he'll take a mile. Jesus was satisfied with God. Jesus was satisfied with what God had called him to be. And let me ask you something. If you're being what God called you to be, how much greater could you ever be than to think that somebody like God would save us and use us in this day and this hour. I appreciate you being here tonight. I do. Stand with me all around the house. I want to thank this missionary family for being here this evening.